90-minute tape converted to 60 minutes. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is a tape of interview with Florence Jung. Interview number 11.
Mrs. Jung, do you remember meeting James Wong Hao? Last time you mentioned that your brother went into a restaurant.
Yes, went into the restaurant together. Yeah. Went in the restaurant together in 1940 in North Hollywood.
What was James Wong Hao like?
Oh, he's very well talent in his line, and he's friendly, and he's a lot of time he's full of jokes too, and very friendly and everything. So he was with my brother in a restaurant, and he opened the restaurant, and my husband was there, and he still working with Warner Brothers, and he had a lot of customers come in and move them from the studio, and then my brother, the maitre d', took care of them. My husband was the bartender, and I was the cashier, and answered the phone, and we all worked together, and we built up a nice business.
Could James Hao speak Chinese?
Yeah, he speaks Chinese.
Samyak or Siyak?
I think he speaks Siyak. Also Samyak Bhok, I guess. So I said, speak Samyak, we speak Samyak. But he would, after working in the studio, he would come back to the place and get his meal and talk to all these customers that he worked with in the studio. He used to have a lot of big names come in, like Betty Davis, something of all the name, but a lot of famous people come in, and we all look for Jimmy, and look at the place, and my husband and her brother took care of them, and took care of customers, and we built up a nice business. And then I knew my brother took sick, and then he had to leave the place, and then went for operation and went to the hospital, and he just found out there was cancer, and he stayed there for quite a few months, and then they were told that he could go to the motion picture home and stay while he was being in the show business. And Ellen was going there. We went up to motion picture home, stay a while. And finally, I don't know what happened, they had to move me back to the end of town. So he finally passed away in the Los Angeles hospital. Then my husband and I were still working with Jimmy. And then my husband had a chance to do something. The farmer's market just opened, and they're gonna want to serve all different nationality food. So a friend told my husband, why don't you go on a farmer's market and get one of those understand and said Chinese words. And then this he just started talking and went over and see the manager in charge of the plumbing market, and he said, oh yes, we can use the Chinese food stand. And before you know it, my husband and I left the chimney. And we went into this plumbing market with this Chinese food stand. And Jimmy, I think he kind of struggled a little bit because my brother left and my husband and I left. So we had to look for, because he's busy at the studio, don't have time to look for it. At the time, my husband's the one that was running around looking for cokes and things like the album and all that. But now, when we left, Jimmy had a hard time because he's so busy in the studio. Hard for him to run down Chinatown, look for coke and radio and all that. Finally found somebody that helped him. And then I don't know what happened. The place didn't last long, I don't know what happened. Wasn't doing a right, running it right or something. So finally it was closed. So we stayed at the farmer's market for a short time, and first was such a struggle because you have to pay the rent and a sandwich, and then you have to buy your own cook and put in all your equipment and everything, and you have to pay for the girl to come and clean up these tables and things. You have to pay your share and everything. And then happened, I guess my husband, we put long hours, and I guess he got sick. And finally, well, I'll just give it up because it seemed like putting the money behind the coke and paying off of this and that, this and that. It seemed like he worked so hard and started working, so anyway, he was sick and needed somebody. So he said, well, I might want to buy it, and sold it. So. And he was going to do something else, but then the restaurant is his line, so he couldn't get anything else. Still working, just another restaurant, one after another. So finally, we're still living in the valley, so finally another friend told me, why aren't you going with me and open the one on Riverside Drive, there's a restaurant, there's a store there, we're going to turn it into a Chinese restaurant, and it's near the studio too, it's called the China Trader, on Riverside Drive in Burbank. So we went in there and we both worked hard. The kids were going to school then. So it was there for quite a few years finally. And some disagreement with my partner. And so we branched off and we finally moved down to Long Beach and said, well, when I first moved from China, my uncle had a restaurant down Long Beach, and I worked down there a long time and lived down there. I liked Long Beach when I was a child. So we moved down to Long Beach. And he got a job on the traffic circle there, opened a Polynesian restaurant. And went there and worked.
Where was the restaurant?
Called Hawaiian, but it's down the traffic circle in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing pretty good there, and he hired all the cooks for them, and in charge of the kitchen and everything. So the kids went to school here, and went to City College, and went to City College, finished the school, and so I brought this home here. So then the boy said, well, I'd like to branch off and do something else after graduating. He branch off and move up to L.A. There's like a fraternity home for all the boys. They all gathered there and working. So he moved in with some of the boys. So we all took turns in cooking. But 8 or 10 boys living there shared this big home. And gradually, one by one, get married and move out, and so down to about two or three, and then they finally down to two. So they had to give up the house because it cost too much. Move in an apartment with another boy. So they stayed together quite a while until this one boy moved out and he got married, and my boy's still single. And so he took a smaller apartment, so he's still living up there and working for the county. So he liked it up there and live close to where he works and near church. And Long Beach is all right, but it's too much travel. And go to work every morning and come home and buck the traffic. He's all tired out. But he comes down every chance he gets and weekends and stay with me. Mm-hmm.
Did you and your husband join any family associations, especially before World War II?
No, it's after World War II. When you had World War II?
Did you join any family associations?
Yeah, we were the Lao Pan Jiangju.
He did.
For family.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did you go to any of the associations activities?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
Yeah. For when you can, but working in the restaurant, you don't get off that evening. And weekends always hard work and holidays. And so we go when we can, but then get to go to often.
Why do you think he joined the association?
Yeah, they claim that like those four family names are combined, like brothers or something like that, or something like that. I don't understand too much, because I was born over here. They're supposed to be close, Lao, Kwan, Jung, and Chiu. Family name, I don't know exactly the story behind it, but that's what they, there's four names in all of them.
Did he pay dues?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what dues were for the family association?
Mm-hmm.
But you never joined your own family association? What kinds of activities did the family associations have?
Well, they would have special music or entertainment. You know, they meet, I don't know, once a year or whatever. And they would have a, you know, big dinner, because they have to all sign in and pay your dues. And they would have speakers and I don't know whether the other Chinese benevolent, they're supposed to help, you know, some poor people or whatever they can. I guess maybe the poor family will reduce too, and then, you know, usually help the families too. But the one in charge would know, we just pay our dues. You know.
Which do you think were the more important or the more prominent Chinese families in Los Angeles, particularly before the war?
Well, for me, I don't know too much because in the younger days I went and my brother traveled all over back east, all over on the coast, so I don't really associate that much with the Chinese family in LA. Until after, when my brother came out after the show, we lived in Hollywood, and my husband was in a restaurant, a 7-seat restaurant, and bartender in Hollywood Boulevard, and my brother, the apartment on Pine Street in Hollywood. So he was looking for pictures working in Hollywood. So I was with him, and my husband and we got married, and we lived in Hollywood for a while. And then we moved up to West LA, and then we had Jeff Portland to go to Palm Springs. So then my son was born, Then when my daughter's on the way, then he has Jack Morgan in Palm Springs. Then he said, well, he rented a big house with the rest of the other people that work in the restaurant together. And then it was really expensive, those homes at the end of the time. And it was cold, and they have to fire place and fire wood and everything. But those all furnished, so they rented real house, they all shared. So then my husband said, well, I'm going to go back to Hollywood and bring my wife and the baby up here. I'm going to have to stay the job here. So that's why he came back down, and so that's why he came down and picked up nothing. So my son and myself up to Palm Springs. And then my brother has this big apartment, he's in a big house. And so it's too much for him to upkeep. But he was waiting for Fox and Wendy to come up. So he moved into a small apartment, gave up at the big house, and a small apartment for himself. Then we went up to Palm Springs to work for a while. And it turned out that the deal, the manager of the big hotel, or the restaurant, and the one that his boss in the Hollywood Boulevard in 17, they have some kind of conflict in agreeing on the same thing or what. And he said, well, he brought the whole crew up there. And, oh, you take the whole crew back to LA. I don't know. So then the boss had brought my husband up there and said, well, some conflict. So I had to go back to LA, and all you have to go back to LA or else get your own, your own looking for a job. But the agreement we didn't do it right or do something right. So then the second baby was on the way, so my brother already gave up the big house. I couldn't go back and buy that room. Just move in a small apartment, and then we shouldn't worry about waiting for a job in the picture. So I said, well, let's move up to San Francisco. Let's go drive up to San Francisco. I had a little car. Drive up to San Francisco, and I had my older sister up there, and some of my niece and nephew were still home. So I could go up to my sister, and I'm sure you can find something there. In the San Francisco Fair, and it was 1939, and my daughter pointed out the fair. But I'm sure there were some jobs up there. And then the second one come around, be with my sister, or somebody in the fair. I stayed for myself. Oh, they're 14 months apart, so one was born as small. So I stopped going up to San Francisco, and my sister and other people up there, and got myself, my husband a job in the restaurant.
When was this? The year was it?
39. So I was 24 this year. And then I went up there, probably this year, and I went to San Francisco. My boy was working. So, so then we stayed, I stayed with my sister for a while, and she was was a widow then. She had five kids, but two of them married off, except three more. And so we feel that she was having a little struggle too. And then we moved in, and but she was about to have us for a while. We had to stay there for a while. Until then her husband got a job, and then then my brother went in with Jimmy in 94. And he said, well, let's start a restaurant together. So then my brother lined up with Jimmy and looked on the place. And first they were going to find a small place to start small, and put a foot to go, but before I knew it, it turned out pretty big, and then it wasn't big enough to do a regular big business. It wouldn't take too many people at one time, 40, 50 people at one time. So the crew was there, but then you can't bring enough money to pay the crew and all that. That's going to be a problem. Anyway, so my brother got started with Jimmy and lined up the place, and so he wrote to us in San Francisco, knowing that my husband can do that kind of work in the restaurant. So they were both coming down and bring the children down and find a place for you to live around the restaurant there, and see how I can help my husband and help get things started. No, I can do it. Line me up to help, cook and waiters and Chinatown. And he can run the bar and help with the kitchen too. Then I can answer the phone and the reservation and cashier at the same time. And I just live across the street and the two children are kind of small. And we have a lady live next to us, and she has two or three children too, and so I get a friend of her, and I'll pay you if you just put the kid to sleep about 6-7 o'clock, and I just get them before I go to work. All day I will be with them, and in the evening I'll sleep and work, but I'm not pretty good. I pay to take care of the kids and take care of the kids. And so I don't know if they'll put them. If I knew they'd get a little older and they start to go to kindergarten and school to go by, then they get a little older, and then somebody. So after my brother passed away, things were a little different. So then my husband wanted to was doing something himself, so I was a friend. Why don't you go to Father's Market to looking for somebody to open the Chinese restaurant, he's going to be on the boss and everything. So we went over and talked to the owner, manager of the place. Yeah, so we can use the Chinese restaurant. We have Mexican food and Italian food, all kinds of food. It'd be nice to have a variety and nationality food. So we started off there, and didn't know too much about going to business for ourselves. We put in the equipment and put our money for just buying all this stuff in the thing. And help and everything, and we kept paying more than we were taking in. At the beginning, I guess that's the way.
Before the war, what kinds of jobs did most Chinese have?
Before the war?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think in San Francisco, you couldn't even get a desk job or any good job as a cleaning boy or janitor or some kind of didn't have any kind of kitchen job, and now of course.
What were most of the jobs that the Chinese had? What kinds?
I don't remember any kind of big job. But now of course you have to have education, and now you have more advantage that if you have the education, you can pick up the whatever line you study for, and you can get into it. Now they have Chinese judges, lawyers, and teachers, and engineers. And before, never heard of Chinese holding any big jobs.
How about acting, the movie industry? How did Chinese view that? Was that getting, a big job or getting an important job, say like for your brother or something?
Well, my brother, with his background, I guess he was able to get little parts, the movie, other just playing Chinese waiter or cook, waiter or servant, or you know, speak, teach in English, and you know, like that. But my brother never did that, and had a pot to look it over, and that was teaching English to him too.
Why?
Well, because he always think that the Chinese are, you know, you're proud too, you know, you don't have to sort of keep broken. You really don't speak broken English, but most of the time they're making fun of us and speak broken English. Because in the older generation, they didn't know education, they couldn't help it. But and most of the other people that just, you know, make fun of you, they speak broken English. I said, oh, my brother's different parts of you, but speaking broken English. And my daddy wouldn't take it. And then the States, you know, they themselves very proud of Chinese and all. Just as good as anybody else.
How did you feel about the way that the Chinese were portrayed in pictures, movies at that time?
I feel the same thing. You see, even with Sun Yang, he's been playing a long time. So he couldn't get too much of, like Keen Look has always had good partners, Phil Ang and what's the other one, the one that owns that restaurant, Fong?
Benson Fong.
Benson Fong, he has some good partners. But this Sun Yang, he never get elevated, and always played the Banzan, Bananza or something, he played a cook and different English and all that thing. Anything party could get, but when you once do that, they type you, and then you'll be stuck. So I think that's true.
Did your brother or any of your friends, or do you know of anybody who ever protested about the way the Chinese were portrayed in the movies? Or, you know?
No, you can't go around. It's a day for movies, and everyone is for themselves, and they're trying to make a living, so you can't trust them. My brother wouldn't like him. Even in the show, you know, everybody starts speaking broken English, you know. So each has to take his own job, you know, and protest.
Did you do any acting in movies too? Bit parts or extras? Or?
Yeah, I went in extras. After the show closed, I came up and in Hollywood, and then you know this agent, Tom Gibson, my son, Tom, you know, the cast crew on the casting, but the studio wants a same character or wants a mob scene or something, he gets them all, and then he gets a percentage from the agent. And so all, they all hang around there, and they hear anything going on, and you know, he knows all that. And the studio wants explain what's going on, and there will be jobs and everything, and they all hang on. So my brother and I knew him pretty well. We all dropped by the store. He used to have a store in Chinatown, Spring Street. So we all hang up and go by then. So I have no experience, and besides, one time he went, they were looking for Shane. He ought to pay a certain part, and he tried to push me up there. So he took me to the studio, and the lady that looked you over and said, no, she doesn't have oriental eyes, and she doesn't have a cup nose. And I, you know, like Anna Wong, you know, that very oriental is looking, and expect, you know, everybody look like Anna Wong. So then he tried to, you know, and then that one part of the paper, so put me over there, and so it's like an information, and that's the audience teaching the group and using. But later on, I wasn't doing anything, and I didn't care, so I wasn't going to. In fact, even when I went on the stage, I didn't want to go on the stage. And I was working for a doctor at home, and at that time, the doctor was so good to me, just like a stop on to me, debating, should I leave him, or should I go, oh, take take care of you, you know, you're living in the family, and sister's very old. And plus my grandma was very good, and my grandma passed away. So he went to, and he got the travel and all that. And I said, oh, yeah, good. That's how I see New York, watching New Zealand. So that enticed me to go with him, but after I went with him and finally, oh, he's going to put me on the stage tonight, it's scared stiff.